We will take your questions. Give her microphone, please.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. Pastor, there is a question I want to ask. I have about 3 questions, but I'm going to be brief. Number 1, 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, which says that he who hates his brother is a murderer, and a murderer has no part in the kingdom of God. Now, my question is, for instance, when a prophet identifies a source to someone's predicament and now mentions the name, and automatically the said individual will now harbor a kind of hatred upon that said upon the fellow. Now, is it a sin for that person to hate that person that is responsible for his predicament?
The purpose of that exposition is to let you know the source of your problem, so that you will know how to comport yourself around such a person, and so that you will know the type of prayer you pray. The purpose is not meant for you to hate the person. God bless you.
Thank you. Question number 2. 1 John chapter 5 verse 17 that says that all unrighteousness is sin, but there is a sin that not unto death.
That is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. I explained here yesterday. Okay. It is a sin unto death. That is, you cannot be forgiven here or hereafter. That is the sin.
Thank you.
Yes.
Question number 3 is Job 14. The emphasis is on verse 2, and also in Ecclesiastes 9, 5 and 6. Concerning when someone is dead. Now, someone once said that if a person dies now, that somebody died in their family, when they're born, the person will die, they're born again, it will die, they're born again, the person will die. Now, they now gave a mark on the child. And when they now born again, he came with that mark. And the other person said that his uncle died of accident, but when he born his child, he now came, the whole wound that was on the uncle when he got the accident was exactly the same places upon his son. So I want to really understand what transpired, because is it the familiar spirit that take the... I want to understand.
And I want you to also understand something, church. The mystery around the things of the spirit is too deep. It's too deep for a carnal man like me to stay here and explain it all. But there is something I've also observed, that a lot of these things people say, Abiku, they see mark and you die, and then they burn you back again. The evidence you are the one that came back to life is that same mark that was on your father is now on you, or the same mark that is on you when you die, before you die, you're now born again. And so, well, first and foremost, I discovered that all those kind of things that happen don't happen among Christian families. They happen around the unbelievers who subject themselves to the worship of those spirits, and those spirits have so much authority until they can do and undo, and then they begin to do things that will make them perpetually stay, and then yield themselves to the manipulations of those spirits. But when you get born again, there is nothing like Abiku. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that is judgment. Therefore, we believe, and we don't believe in reincarnation. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you, Pastor.
Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord. Daddy, there's this question I want to ask, because it has been bothering me for long.
That's why you're with the microphone now.
Yes, sir. It happens 2009 when I lost my mom. So I had one of my friends, before she got married, a voice told me to tell her that she shouldn't eat anything from the husband's elder sister. Then I was in Lagos and she was in Kano. But I didn't deliver that message to her. So after 1 month that I went back to Kano, I now asked her, I told her, did your sister-in-law came to you for reconciliation? She said yes. I now told her, did she give you anything to eat? She said yes. And since then, she had problem with the husband. They were never together again. So it happens the way that the...
So what's your question?
The question is, after that, she said she falls sick. To the extent that they admitted her in the hospital, that same voice came to me again and said, go and pray to this friend. Go and pray with her. Tell her to remove the attachment that is on her hair to accept Christ. But I didn't go because another voice came again and said, go and pray. After that, they will attack you in the house. And I didn't go. So after 2 days, she died.
What is your question?
My question now goes like this, because I met one man of God. I told him, I said, this is what the Lord told me to do. But I didn't do it. He said, he now said that the salvation of that lady is on my head.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you something, church. There is only one man that God had depended on for the salvation of mankind. What is the name of that man? That's all. And he yielded himself for us to be saved. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For God was in Christ, reconciling the world
to himself.
None of us, no man can stop you from going to heaven. No man can also take you to heaven. The only thing was, you were a disobedient vessel. And you did that because you did not know the implication of your action. And that's why you are here. Yesterday we taught extensively in it. I'm not sure you will make that type of mistake again. When God speaks to you, you must deliver the message. You become an obedient servant. Now, what happened is, not that soul, but you, God will deal with you. So that next time, when he comes to tell you to do something, you will not waste time. But he's a merciful God. He knows also that you are doing it in ignorance. We call that foolish humility. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Just ask him to have mercy on you and tell him from now on, I will do your work. That's all. Yes?
Pastor, I want to ask you 2 questions. And this is a question that has been bothering my heart. First of all, I have a dream on Tuesday after the Shiloh. And in that dream, a man came to me. There was a dry tree. The stem had been cut off. But it remains there half of the stem to the root. And it dried. So he went to the tree and uprooted it. And when he uprooted it, there was a 7 eggs under the tree. And he asked me to pick it up. And I don't under...
What was under the tree?
Eggs.
Eggs.
Yes, 7. Eggs. 7 in number. So the man asked me to pick the 7 eggs and take it. So I picked the eggs and I wake up and I was somehow confused.
No, God does not confuse anybody with any dream. If a dream is a message to you and you know it's a message, what you do is pray that God will grant you understanding. Now there are some dreams that you will understand immediately, but there are some dreams that when it is fulfilled, then you will remember that dream, and that dream becomes meaningful. So a lot of us that dream, anyone you don't understand, hang it. A time is going to come when God will make it clear for you. God bless you.
Thank you. Then the second question. What is it? I mean, if anyone so-called a servant of God committed something and a crime that leaked to someone's death, And at the process, someone called him and reported him to the members of the council. And he was caused to caution. Maybe at the line, it leads to, you know, removing him from the position. Have I done anything wrong against the spirit?
What's his name again that took javelin? Phinehas, thank you very much. If you have done something wrong, then Phinehas has also done something wrong. You know the story of Phinehas? While they were lamenting, people were dying for the abomination they had committed. The whole camp of Israel, one of them went and took one woman, one prostitute, and entered the tent, and was doing the same kind of thing that was bringing punishment on them. People are dying. Phinehas did not say, Moses, can you see what is happening? In anger, he went and took his javelin. The man was on top of the woman. The anger was such, I'm sure it was by the power of the Holy Ghost. Fear! The thing went through the man to the woman, nailed them there. And for that action, the anger of God was removed from the camp. When you see something happening in the church, and you don't say it for actions to be taken, you become as guilty as the person that is doing it. And when you know something is going on that can work against the progress of the church, stand up and do what you can do. The least you can do is to report the matter. If they begin to attack you, always know you are not suffering for righteousness' sake. God will see you through.
Amen.
Thank you. Yes.
Shalom, church. Pastor, I come across one Jehovah's Witness.
You came across one Jehovah's Witness? He said he wants to marry you?
No, sir.
Oh. What's your question, please?
He happened to be my patient. So I can't avoid his question and other things. You know, I normally avoid them. This Ephesians 4, verse 4, 4 to 7. I want you to throw my more light. Because the man says that it's only them. At the end time, God will recognize because they are speaking one thing and one baptism, and they are in America they speak one thing, in Nigeria they speak one thing, that we are claiming that we are brides of the Lord, but they are the one that is doing what God wants. So I want you to emphasize in this verse, throw more light.
No,
Ephesians 4, verse 4, that say, there is one body and one spirit, even. Please.
It's one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling.
Yes.
So I should expatiate on one.
Yes.
How can I explain one? One now, one. Let me quickly tell you this thing. Listen, church. If you listen to the sermon I preached about understanding the end time anointing, I try to let you know what God is doing in getting a bride using the story of Esther in the book of Esther chapters 1 and 2 and how Vashti the queen was put away by King Ahasuerus so that he can now get a replacement. And in going for the replacement, maidens came out for the preparation by the chamberlains so that they will know who among them will be qualified to replace Queen Vashti. And among the maidens, I explained, that is why God has allowed different churches. Every church, you know, a church is identified in the Bible as a woman. Okay? Now, every denomination is claiming that they are the ones that will replace Vashta. They're the ones that will be the bride, the queen of King Jesus. So Jehovah Witness is only one of the maidens. That is Catholic maiden, Pentecostal maiden. All of them maidens. All of them. So what the Jehovah Witness is saying is exactly what every other person, every other denomination is claiming. But a time is going to come when we will finally know who is, we qualify, who will be the Esther. Wait and see. After the rapture, everybody will know.
Amen.
God bless you.
The second question.
And we know who we qualify from the story of Esther. We already know who we qualify from the story of Esther. Thank you.
Amen. Sir, is it proper for a man of God if one of his ministers under him decide to move away from the church, maybe to start his own ministry, then the man of God now will gather the elders and the church workers, they will now place curse upon that
person. No, I think I said that yesterday. It's wrong. It's very wrong. And let me tell you, praise the Lord. When Peter said, but who can harm you if you be followers of that which is good? God also spoke to Balaam that you cannot curse whom he, God, has blessed. No matter how the Pharisees gathered and cursed the disciples, the more they cursed them, the more the fire was going round. So we should not bother, but we also know that if a man of God curses you where you live, Proverbs 26 verse 2 also says, if he curses you and the curse comes to pass, it means true, you are guilty of something. Because a curse causeless shall not come. So when you want to leave a church and you leave wrongly, there's a proper way to leave any ministry you have served, and there's an improper way to leave. And you don't leave the church and create problem with your exit. And it can generate a problem for you too. Because your foundation must be clean. Praise God.
Shalom, church.
God bless you. Yes, brother.
Shalom, God bless you.
Oh, I love your voice. Say it again.
You know, actually, thank God that there is a time for questions like this. We would have acted drama today. But, thank God. I have only two questions. Number one question is that we look on these things on TV. We people that were outside Lagos here.
Where are you coming from?
I come from Abuja.
Abuja.
Yeah.
Amen.
But we have seen, this is the only ministry, of course, that we have seen the message, enter message, is impractical.
Clap your hands now. We appreciate that comment. Yes.
And we have come out from people that refuse to identify with the movement, thank God. But the question is that I like to defend what I believe, and
yes.
I also follow.
Yes.
There's a lot of questions that people used to ask us, we that live, because in the north, most of the time they call us seven thunder people. And now we have seen this message so rural like this. We go down to our various friends and other churches. that see this message in another form. That it contains both the word of God and always and also the power side of the message.
That's right.
Have been restored back. So let's come and identify. And sometimes when they're listening on it, they throw questions. The question that I wanted to ask is that it's about the prophet that always when they discover something in the spirit or concerning anybody, they will tell you that this thing is caused by your uncle, is caused by your father or mother or whoever it is. But at the ending of it, they will do Holy Ghost fire on the person. Holy Ghost fire on the person. And this thing, my question there is that Bible have charged us or made it clearly, we Christians, how to deal with our enemy. In Matthew chapter 5, 43, and also in St. Mark and other scriptures like that, how Christians should deal with their enemies. But I discovered that anytime they have found out the problem, their own is that Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. And this Holy Ghost fire is that, what if God actually, Holy Ghost fire comes and kill the person? You know, to me, that love is not properly blessed. Because our prophet William Branham says, when somebody is caught, possessed by demons, it teaches us how to overlook the man, grab the devil behind him, and deal with it, your brother will be free. But now, prophet and other people, they are killing both the demon and the person. From my own, I'm sorry, I want to make myself clear. Because this is a platform of somebody can bring out his mind. So please, I want you to, is there any place in the Bible, Old Testament, that made a provision of killing your enemy? Is there any place like that?
God bless you.
That's number one.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Listen, the things of the Spirit, we must learn to balance it. You must balance it. But before I go into that, you came across the ministry of William Branham when? How long ago?
Over 20 years back.
20 years back. And for the first, okay, and you are among those who believe that the seven thunders have been revealed?
Before.
Before. Clap your hands now. Before. Before. Why? What makes you now not believe it is not revealed?
Pardon?
Why did you change your mind to believe now it is not revealed? Seven thunders is not revealed.
It's clearly.
It's clear.
It's clear.
Now,
it's clear.
But before it was not clear. You thought it was clear.
You said?
You thought seven thunders have been revealed. Before. Okay. 20 years in the entire message, and you have been believing that the seven thunders have been revealed, have sounded.
Yeah.
That's why you are referred to as seven thunder people. Correct?
Yeah.
When, which year did you now get a better revelation to dump what you believed before?
You know, I was not learned as that. We are just church followers. You know, when I say church followers, they have bind us from a lot of things. You cannot ask questions. There's a lot of problems.
How did you know the truth?
When I see it, because what actually convinces me that this is the right movement is that the word is rightly there and the power is rightly there.
How did you come across us?
Actually, it is through one pastor, Timothy
Ezekiel. Okay.
Abuja. In Abuja down there.
Okay.
We across you people, and we just say let's take risks. and look at this one, whether it will make sense or as usual. So that's how we come and approach it. And you know, when you get inside something, actually you have to monitor your movement, more especially we northerners. We don't play with religion or anything that will affect our salvation.
Thank you. We don't.
Really, you can take wife, you can take money, you can take water. When it comes to religion, you can see it.
Yes.
But that is why we are so anxious of, we are sure that we are in a right place. That what moves my question.
God bless you. Now listen, it is true that it is wrong, according to the scripture, I'll just give you a picture. It is wrong for a Christian to look at somebody and curse him. It is wrong for a Christian to face an enemy and tell the enemy, you will die in 7 days. Holy Ghost fire, fire you. There is a way you go about the spiritual battle that it is nothing but a display of fleshly carnality. But now balance it this way. Elijah in the Old Testament is the one that called down fire to consume two sets of 50-50 soldiers that they sent to bring him. The third set had to submit before he spared him. Praise God. But you will say that is the Old Testament. Amen. Let's also come to the New Testament. Apostle Paul had cause to also hand over certain people to Satan. Apostle Paul also had cause to blinding somebody, though he served for a season. So you have to hold it. Now, in our age, somebody came to the altar with a lying something he wrote, coming to tempt William Branham. They arranged pressmen so that they will say it is arranged. And he wrote that he had cancer. And as soon as he stood before William Branham, a vision broke forth, and he saw them in a meeting where they took the decision. And then it was his turn for prayers, and he said, you decided to come here and you wrote that you have cancer on your card so that you will say we are using telepathy or something like that. He said, well, you wrote that you have cancer, so you take the cancer. Now listen, the man bowed down and held his leg. Have mercy. William Branham said, I am the one that said it. He said, he is the one that said it, the Holy Ghost. The same William Branham again was preaching in another place at the back of the auditorium. A young man and a young woman were there fondling themselves in the church auditorium, and he saw them. Naturally, as a human being, was angry and walked to them. The angel appeared. Say anything, I will back it up. But he said, I forgive you. And the same William Branham said, that is what the Holy Ghost was waiting for him to say. Why will he throw cancer on someone and tell another person, I forgive you? It means there is a time to curse, and there is a time to bless your enemy. Praise the Lord. Now, whatever time it is to curse or to bless, the Bible tells us that the weapon we say we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. Now, as a Christian, amen, listen, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but mighty through God. Ephesians chapter 6 says so. The Bible now tells us, if your enemy is hungry, what should you do? Give him food. Now, if he's thirsty, give him drink. Listen, I preach a balanced gospel. I am not a one-sided preacher. I like to bring a picture. Listen, church. What I understand by that scripture is the person that you know is your enemy, when you see him physically, you show him love. But after he's away, you enter your closet, Lord, anybody that say, I'm not going to get picky, Father, fire him. Father, fire him. But in the morning when you see her, Mommy, God bless you. Mommy, God bless you. You cannot fight physically. Our weapon of warfare is calm, is spiritual. You go on your knees. They are mighty through God. You let God fight the battle. So, in prayer only, we reign whatever we want to do. But physically, when we meet them, we don't begin to curse them. We bless them. That is how Christians fight their battles. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I heard you preach a message. You said, once saved is forever saved. And actually, I thank God for that. But the question I want to ask, the Bible made us clear, says, if a man being in Christ, he's a new creature. But is it possible for witches or wizards or whosoever can have an access towards a man who is in Christ? Is it possible?
Praise God. It's very, very possible. If it's not possible, then why do we have terminologies in the Bible as overcomers, victory? Why do we have testimony? Why do we have battle? Why do we have power to cast out? Why do we still have people sick before you go for deliverance? Yes, it is possible, but they will never succeed. They cannot pull you down because we have the overcoming power. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord. So my first question is like this. I want to know, somebody might offend you, and then the person asks for forgiveness. You have forgiven the person, but anytime you see that person, you will remember what that person did to you. Is it that you have not really forgiven the person or what? I really want to know the cause of that.
Praise the Lord. We are human beings. I think I have explained that on some occasions here. Our church members will answer that for you confidently. Now listen, when you talk about forgiveness, when somebody has hurt you, amen, unforgiveness, you are known as an unforgiver because you take up some retaliatory actions. When you take up some retaliatory actions because of what the person has done against you to get back at the person, you are an unforgiver. Now, but when somebody hurts you, now, it depends on the extent of the wound the person has created in you. Sometimes when you are still nursing the wounds, and it takes time for some wounds to be healed, people mistake it to be unforgiveness. When the person comes to you and you say, please, I beg you, leave me alone. It's okay now, I have forgiven you. Leave me alone. Then you interpret that to mean unforgiveness. That is not unforgiveness. You have injured her. She's still nursing the wounds. Leave her to be healed. But if you begin to retaliate, then that is unforgiveness. Prolonged anger is different from unforgiveness. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The second one is that I was invited to a program, so at the Dominion City. So when I went there, I've never worshipped with them before. Reaching there, I noticed that they don't cover heads and that's how they dress. So I was not comfortable at all. So after 2 days, the pastor visited us in our lodge. We are two. So after discussing, preaching the word of God, he said, let us pray. I now turned to pick something to cover my head. I said, excuse me, sir, I have a question. I came to your church last time. You people were not covering your head, and I was not comfortable with it. Why? He now told me that he referred me to 1 Corinthians 11, that I should read from verse 11 downward. He said that the hairs cover the head. And then he also told me that our hair is our the glory. That is why when a man dies, then the wife will bab her hair. That the glory of that woman has been cut off. That's why the woman is supposed to bab her hair. So I want you to enlighten me more on this.
Sorry, which church do you belong?
I was born in Anglican.
Which church do you belong now?
Now. I don't really have a church. Like, where I am now, I worship in a Redeem. But yeah. If I come to Lagos, I do worship here at Bright Assembly.
Okay, so you're a wanderer. The songwriter says, my faith has found a resting place, not in the glory. Now, what that song is saying is, my soul has found a resting place. And until you find that rest, you continue to be a wanderer. Praise the Lord. Now, I quickly want you to also note that almost all, in fact, I don't know of any else, apart from those who left this church to start their ministries, almost all enter message churches I know, their women don't cover their hair. Even in Braham Tabernacle, I was there in April in America, and they don't cover their hair. Another intermessage church I attended there, they don't cover their hair. Faith Assembly Church. In Nigeria here, almost all the ones I visited, they don't. And it may interest you that one of the problems they have with this church is that we make our women cover their hair. So they term us to be in error. Why? It's the same argument that pastor told you. It's the same argument all the Pentecostal churches have. What they say is that the hair, according to I think verse 15 or so, of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 or so, verse 13, that the hair is given to us for a covering. Now, let's see something. Screen 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 1. This is what Apostle Paul said. Be ye followers of me even as I also am of Christ. He said, now, watch the language. Watch the language. Now, I praise you, brethren, that you remember in all things and keep the ordinances. Get the meaning of an ordinance. You keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. Okay? But I will have you know, it started now. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Go on. Every man pray. Catch that scripture very well. He didn't just put it blank. Every Christian, whatever you are, wherever you are, the emphasis is praying. Every man pray. Amen. Or prophesy. Like teaching ministry, preaching. With his head covered, dishonored his head. That is the only scripture in the Bible that makes men In every church, when you sit down, you don't put anything on your head. That's the only scripture. Amen. That is the only scripture. And among those who preach that, I have a friend of mine, Pastor Enoch Onyeboha, in Port Harcourt. This is what disturbed him so much about this ministry when we were still friends. Now, and I told him, I said, Pastor, if you want me to respect your understanding of that scripture, I said, whenever you are preaching, let me see you wear a cap and you are preaching. I said, I will respect you. Because the only reason why, when they say you are going to church, even if you dress traditional, you will remove your cap. This is the only scripture. Now let's go to the next verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesy with her head uncovered, dishonoring her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. That is the shame of a woman shaving her head totally. No woman likes to carry gorimakpa. Very shameful. That is how shameful it is for a woman praying or prophesying, leaving her hair uncovered. Now, the question I'm asking is, if you read further, let's read it from verse 11. It says, verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Go on. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourself. Now he's bringing the matter down. Is it comely, proper, that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not evil nature, that is where the confusion is. Does not evil nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman, nature, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now, this is where it is quoted. Now, if naturally you have a covering, why is Apostle Paul telling you when praying or prophesying, you should cover your hair again? Hallelujah. That is where they miss it. Amen. Amen. He is telling you that even naturally, the man's hair is designed different from the woman. Now, when you come, he calls it ordinance. Ordinance is an instruction for something you are to do. When are you to do that thing? You are to do that thing when praying or prophesying. He's not saying when praying or prophesying, grow long hair. That cover there, search everywhere, search the meaning, bring all the fashion. That cover there is veil. Veil yourself. When you come together like this as a church, praise the Lord. That is my understanding.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.